Chris Cox reporting here live from oneofus.net studios. And with me in the studio, I have two blithering idiots. Sorry, I just want to get the insult part out of the way because I know you guys aren't idiots.
Is Richard on this podcast? Because we're just going to insult each other.
I know. Right? Well, that's the thing. If Richard starts insulting people, then we all just turn on Richard.
But this is a British movie. He needs to be here to educate us.
It's a shame he wasn't here.
Yeah, for him to say like the things that were correct and weren't correct about how the British totally fucked up that everything in the movie.
Oh yeah, he'd be like, okay, sure, the it was improbable that this could happen at all. Not just improbable, just flat out impossible that this setup could happen. Sure, the movie's littered with impossible moments of things that just would never happen, things people would never say. But that store has never sold crumpets ever. Yeah. I've been there. That guy's anti-crumpet.
It has everything to do with Britain in the 80s. So I'm just
which is, you know, this movie felt like it was made in the 80s, yeah. So that makes sense. And we're talking about London Has Fallen.
Yeah, it did.
The Fergie Ferg biopic.
The what?
She was the woman from Black Eyed Peas. She was Fergie. She had this song called London Bridge. So when I heard London Has Fallen, I was like, is this Fergie? I hope not.
I'm tempted to just let you keep floundering there for a second.
Hey, I could flounder,
Fergie,
baby.
The one, like, the Black Eyed Peas who made all those songs that I wanted to murder them for?
They were real big in 2005.
And haven't been since.
Here's the thing. Olympus Has Fallen, it's not even really a good movie, but it's a watchable movie, I thought.
Yeah,
I was like, it's a nice little bottle film. It also is really improbable, but it had the advantage of A, like, not shying away from the heavy violence moments at all. Like, being pretty grotesque.
Fuck. I'm sorry. We have to say fuck every 5 seconds.
Yeah, being like, I don't even know. I assume it was rated R. I'm not even entirely sure.
Oh, yeah, it totally was. With all the violence and headshots in the first one, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way it couldn't have been.
Even though I still thought, like, for what it was going for, White House Down did it better.
It did do it better.
Because it was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, at this point, this movie needs more of a Mark Wahlberg than it needs a Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it for what it was worth. And then we have the completely nobody was asking for London Has Fallen, the sequel that goes from Anton Fuqua, an accomplished action director who has proven time and time again that at least 80% of the time he really knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Even if he's got mediocre material, he can, like, elevate it to, what is it, Babak Najafi? Like, which I can only assume is Arab for Uncle Tom or something. Because, wow, this movie is racist against Middle Eastern people.
Wikipedia says he's Swedish.
Born in Iran, came to Sweden as a refugee.
Ah, yeah. There you go.
So, yeah.
So he's neutral.
he doesn't care.
Neutral. He eats a lot of chocolate.
He's paycheck is what he is. Because London Has Fallen, and like I said, I'm going to say from the beginning, we all did not agree on this one. I'm coming down on the very, very, very negative side of this. London Has Fallen feels like nothing but a paycheck of a film to everyone involved. Even Morgan Freeman, who plays the vice president, who I can't even believe is in this thing, because he's such a outspoken liberal, and this is like a trump card of a film if there ever was one.
There is an odd, I wonder if you and Corey were having this thought, because I was sitting right behind you guys. His first appearance looks almost as if it's CG for some reason.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah. I saw Corey lean over and talk to you. I don't know if you guys had the same thought that I did. Well,
I was getting worried about his eyesight. Like, they keep doing those shots of his eyes, and they're so roomy. I don't think Morgan Freeman can see shit.
It's like cataracts.
Yeah.
But I tell you, like, he was probably in the movie maybe six scenes.
Yeah, I was telling Martin, I was like, I think this is a prequel to Deep Impact.
Yes.
Because, like, in both of them, he's just sitting in a control room somewhere in a presidential status going, we need to fix these problems.
Well, in the...
Inspire.
You say, like, racism, and it does have that, but it goes even worse because it has caricatures of famous leaders from around the world. So, like, you have the Italian prime minister, who's basically Berlusconi. Like, it just takes every country, and the stuff that happens at the beginning doesn't serve, like, we never see the impact of that. it just whets our appetite for the rest of the movie. So it completely disregards everybody else in the world. It just goes, no, 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 they fuck them, they don't matter.
Because this movie's made for nobody but a certain portion of Americans.
Yeah.
Like, it is a flag waver of a blind flag waver of a film, you know?
It's made for the crowd that Hollywood thinks middle America is.
Yeah.
And that it's made for that 50% of the Republican Party that's voting for Trump.
That's true.
That's who it's made for.
It completely is. Unapologetically. The story this time is, even though Gerard Butler, he's getting ready to have a kid with his wife, and they're setting up their room with Kevlar and multiple cameras, because that's what you do with a baby when you're getting one, you know? I suppose if I had the money to do that, I would do that. Why not?
It'd be like if one of us were having a kid, all of us would end up buying, like, that kid nerd stuff.
It takes a website to raise a child.
Yeah.
What a poor, poor child.
But he's now, like, the number one Secret Service guy for Aaron Eckhart, who is still the president. And they go jogging together, and basically Aaron Eckhart is... he may be the number one person in America on paper, but clearly, whenever Gerard Butler tells him anything, he's like, all right, man, okay, yeah. It's like, come on, you fucker. Ah, you bitch. Come here. Give me noogies. It feels like when off camera, that's exactly what's happening.
Probably. Give the president noogies.
They're just drinking, out of affection. And he's like, you fucking pussy, do another fucking shot. Why are you such a little puss? You're president of the United States. Do another shot.
Like, man, I gotta go give him a State of the Union tomorrow.
You be baby man.
See, but you say that, but one of my favorite parts of this movie was their friendship, because it was such a, like, it was a buddy comedy where the guy that he's supposed to be protecting is basically a soldier too.
Sort of. It's established that he doesn't even really know how to use a gun.
Yeah,
yeah. He goes, here, you point this end at the bad guys at one point. You know, you're like, okay, he doesn't. He's not a soldier. They're just frat brothers.
Yeah, but it was. I think. You know, and this is going to be the big difference between Chris and I in this review, is just buying into that, though, just giving yourself over to the absurdity. You can have a good time.
Couldn't do it. But anyway, continuing with the plot, I realize that's the pole you're going to wave your flag from there.
And
there's no logical way to attack that argument, because it's not logical to begin with. But but that's emotion for you, folks.
If you can't win on logic, go emotion.
Basically, the Prime Minister of London dies under, like, they say, mysterious circumstances. Basically, he has a heart attack. They say it might be connected to a surgery he had had or something. Yeah. You know?
First question: why don't they wait for the funeral to do? Why don't they wait for the autopsy results to come back before you schedule the funeral?
Yeah,
that's number one question.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that one either.
Also, does it have to be 48 hours after he died?
Yeah.
Or he turns into a zombie.
Okay.
Little known secret: world leaders that have to be given. They're given the zombie virus.
The third movie in the trilogy.
Yeah.
Earth is falling. Earth is falling.
I would fucking watch the shit out of that. That would be great.
I'd be the guy out front picketing it.
The end has come.
So all the world leaders have to go to London for the funeral, and nobody's real happy about the short notice of this, including Angela Bassett, who plays the director of the Secret Service, and Gerard Butler, who is already thinking, as we see, about quitting, because he's just going to be a family man. I was really surprised and honestly pleased they didn't do the whole, honey, you got to get out of this job, you're a dad now, because then you've got to go... Bitch, he works for the fucking White House, the president. Like, his boss is the president, and you're like, oh, but it's dangerous. No shit. You knew what you were getting into when you married this.
Yeah, because you didn't know if that came from her or if it's something he just kind of wanted to do on his own.
Right.
Yeah, that was nice. A cool little wrinkle.
A better choice not to go with that, what seemed like was the predictable choice there to do. But anyway, so they all pack up and leave for London, and they get there, and not even in the doors of the goddamn cathedral where the funeral was being held, when suddenly a coordinated attack goes off that's taking out every single one of these world leaders that are still spread out all over London, conveniently near major recognizable landmarks.
Yeah. And my thing was, like, just watching that movie from a production standpoint, it's clear to me that they didn't want to reproduce that set. I think it's the Westminster Abbey.
Yeah.
They didn't want to even have that set for the cost of the production. They're like, look, it's just going to take place outside the doors.
Yeah.
We can cheat it. We can buy some stock footage. It's going to be fine.
Well, that's like, you know, what there was that resembled a how they spent a budget, which is $105 million. It sure didn't look like it to me.
$30 million for Butler.
As you're watching all these things blow up, it looked a little better than Sci-Fi Channel quality.
No, it looked like Air Force One.
Yeah.
You know, like, not good at all.
You could see a lot of the, like, the production cheats. Like, it didn't... They probably spent more money than they needed to on bringing back... Like, Robert Forster is back in this one, so is Melissa Leo.
Yeah, who are given almost nothing to do.
Nothing to do.
Stand around. They stand up every once in a while.
Yeah, and they spent the entire movie in the war room. They probably shot all their scenes in a day, maybe two.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, is that, like, outside of, like, you know, the beginning of this film, which is all outdoor around London and everything, there's a brief period, like a car chase sequence, and then after that, almost the whole rest of it is in very dark, shadowed alleys where it could be anywhere, or it's underground, or it's inside of an old tenement building where you're like, oh, well, they saved their money by,
it's very smart,
like, actually shooting in Anywheresville Lot B.
So instead of being a bottle movie, it's a six-pack movie. Every time they need to get another bottle, they're like... The bottle is done. Let me go to the next bottle of the MI6 safe house.
Must have been Mike's Hard Lemonade, because, ugh.
Hey.
are you going to make a defense for Mike's Hard Lemonade now?
It tastes okay.
That's almost like your defense of this film.
Sort of. This is the Mike's Hard Lemonade of action films.
Basically, the two of them are on the run, is that we see that the main baddie, who is nowhere near here, but all his sons are like coordinating the attack from somewhere inside of London, and they've got control of fucking everything. Like, there's like half the police force are bad guys.
Yeah.
Mysteriously, white people.
Yeah.
Considering when it ties into, like, this whole thing came from a direct drone attack on the main bad guy's daughter's wedding.
Which he shouldn't have got out of in the first fucking place.
Yeah, not clear how that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that it's all revenge. So you're like, wait, so this guy, while admittedly probably worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, coordinated an attack that makes... Like, it's like cost more than every other terrorist attack ever made, put together times a billion.
Yeah.
And did it with hired people, clearly, because they're all white people. Like, there's like four Middle Easterners in this film, and they're all related to
it. I have a theory as to how they pulled it off, because maybe they didn't take years of planning. Maybe a couple of years ago, at one point, the plan was just, hey, when you see the president, everybody with a gun, shoot it at the same time. That's the plan.
It was a little more involved than that. It had to do with, like, blowing up major things.
Well, yeah.
And yeah, there was a lot of, you know, and like I said, you replace the whole police force pretty much. Like there's a point where, like, oh my God, the police are actually terrorists. You're like...
And why were there so many cops in the station?
Well, then after that, you never see another non-terrorist cop.
Yeah.
They're everywhere, and they're all terrorists, and you're like... Who in the fuck is in charge of Britain's police?
My thing is, like, don't you do, like, hey, Johnson, how's it going, man? Don't you just say, like, check who you're working with that day? Like, wouldn't they be in the same squads?
Someone goes, this is strange, but I recognize no one here.
Yeah.
And it's not like just go out there and look busy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is all the world leaders in one place. Has to be, and they even say in the movie, the tightest security for any event ever.
Maybe they took the approach that, like, retail stores take for Black Friday, and I think they just hire a whole bunch of new people.
Yeah.
And, like, because I've worked in retail stores on Black Friday, like, I don't know 10 of these people, but I guess they were. I guess they're my coworkers.
Well, you know, we are talking.
I don't have the words to respond to that, Jason. But it's a funny approach.
Oh, yeah.
We are talking about the flaw in that we don't know where all these people came from. But what that does, getting past the logical part of it, doesn't make sense that they're there. But what that does is that does make the action, to me, more visceral, because you feel closed in by their options. Even though, you know, it's an action movie, you know it's going to end up fine because that's an action movie. Just the fact that everybody just suddenly starts shooting in a snap... It makes it to where it impacts you more, is what I would say.
But that's the thing, is it didn't for me, because I was like, I don't believe any of this. Mm-hmm. You have to sell me at least it being, like, it doesn't have to be, like wildly plausible. It has to at least be some, like, within the realm of possibility.
See, and this is where
we
differ.
Nothing here was in the realm of possibility.
And this is where we differ, because for me, if it doesn't, for me, in the way I look at movies, it has to make sense. Or it has to be so far from making sense that it goes into that other realm where I no longer apply logic to it.
And that will work as long as you're entertaining. And
see, it was entertaining to me.
I didn't find it entertaining.
And see, it for me, it did start to come together a little bit, because when the shit hits the fan, I did sort of have the thought of, oh, this director has clearly seen the first movie, because he's basically taking the same approach the Koreans did in that one, where it's like everybody fire at the same time and move in towards the target, and that's like, that's the plan. But for this director, I will say that the hand-to-hand combat scenes, especially when Gerard Butler's character is like fighting with a knife, like, I thought those scenes were really well done.
Well, that was the only thing in the action that I liked.
Yeah.
Was that. And that harkens back to the first one. Where clearly he watched the first one and went, okay, people really liked the violence when it's close up and it's him just brutally stabbing the shit out of someone.
Or punching somebody in the throat.
I can't even defend that artistically, per se. I just, like, I'm a fucking ghoul that likes to see, if you're going to have an action movie, I want to see motherfuckers get taken down brutally. You know, that's why I like the Raid movies so much.
That's why Wolverine needs to be
the
R.
The top ever of dudes being taken out brutally. Yeah. You know? And so at least that wasn't watered down, but all the gunshot scenes feel like that scene in Commando when Schwarzenegger is just walking down the middle of that giant row of dudes in broad sunlight who are firing at him, and he's not even getting scratched. He's just casually shooting at people. You're like, every gunshot movie in this, gunshot scene in this felt like that. Like, he is made the Man of Steel and cannot be hurt, except for one time when maybe he got grazed.
No. I'm not arguing that he's invulnerable in the movie, because he is. But there were a few cool scenes in the way they shot the shooting scenes. So, you know, one of the reasons I like the movie Heat is they have a really good part of that movie that films them advancing on a target.
Mm.
That's really cool to watch, just how they take a position, they shoot, they then advance, and they cover each other. There's a part about three-fourths of the way through this movie where they sort of do that, and it's the best I've seen it since then. And then on top of that, they do this thing that I think Michael Bay tried to do in Transformers 3, but he did it horribly, where they flipped the first-person perspective a few times. And it really worked for me. Like, it put me right in there in the movie. Like, for better or for worse, it felt like I was playing Call of Duty.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, for me, that was for worse. I actually really hated the direction on a lot of this. I thought there were moments that they got the action right, but there's... My God, anytime the movie slows down, it was just like...
No, you're completely right.
Editing chaos. Like, who the fuck put this thing together?
There were a couple of editing mistakes, because you mentioned how impervious he seemed to be, except for one, maybe bullet graze. I'm also pretty sure towards the end he got stabbed in the stomach with a big-ass machete. Totally,
and nobody cared.
Totally unclear if that happened.
Well, so did the president. The president got injured in the beginning. He had something in his stomach.
Yeah.
Then towards
or
the
maybe
end.
He did.
Or maybe he did.
It's hard to say.
Well, let's watch it again.
No. Under no circumstances.
One of us has fallen.
Oh, my God. I haven't even mentioned the fact I did briefly, but how fucking offensive this movie is.
It really is
so
offensive.
So many groups. I mean, this movie even makes an outright gay joke in the middle of it, where I was like, who still does that now?
It does, and then there are even moments where the president is looking at Gerard Butler like he's got a huge heart on. And you could almost envision the dialogue being, "President, bro, I killed that guy. Thank you, Secret Service, bro.
I love you.
I love you, bro."
No, it was totally going for a bromance thing. I just didn't think the dialogue was funny enough for that. And that's so key to make a bromance like this work, is to make the dialogue really funny and make us know more about each one of them. Like, we get a strong feeling for who Gerard Butler is. But Aaron Eckhart, we only get that he's kind of a wimp when it comes down to Gerard Butler. Like, he is definitely the bottom when it comes to that relationship. Like, and that's like, other than that, we really don't know anything about him except this very generic idea of a president. So it's never like, it's not like a buddy comedy, because he's not given a personality.
He's given a little bit of a personality, and in that, towards the end, he makes a speech that shows he's committed to the underlying tenets of his job.
I didn't see Bill Pullman anywhere in this movie. That's all I'm saying. That was no presidential speech. Not our Independence Day.
Here's the thing. They could have done a lot of things better in this movie. I will never argue that it's perfect. But it still is a shit ton of fun to watch. Like,
well, keep going with your final thoughts here. So.
Oh, we're going to... Okay. Yeah. Just, it's fun to watch. It's going to... If you can just buy into the premise that nothing makes any sense, everything's on fire, and everything's horrible, you'll like this movie. Abandon all hope. Everything's bad. Just turn your brain off. You'll like this movie.
I
7 Mike's Hard Lemonade out of 10.
I'm going to tell Martin you said that.
I know you did.
That's one of his pet peeves.
Oh, I know. That's why I said it, because I don't want to see you get mad.
All right, so I'm going to go in the middle so I don't feel like a fascist being the last word on this, since I know JC's more with Elliot than he is with me. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I would like this so much better if Roland Emmerich had directed it.
you make a good point.
He's a very mediocre director who every once in a while does something that's pretty fucking cool despite himself. Yeah. And this is one of those movies I was like, I could see Emmerich actually having had, like, done some stuff that was a lot cooler, especially with the destruction of London scenes. He would have done that a lot better.
Yeah. Like if he had never made White House Down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there damn sure wouldn't have been a gay joke.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, it's like, it's 2016, people. Can we just...
Well, that's the thing. Everything about this feels like, not like a movie that's trying to tribute the 80s. It feels like a movie that hasn't learned anything since the 80s in action.
Well, it's like you said.
Hold on, my final review.
No, I was agreeing with you. Okay, sorry.
All right, go ahead.
No, I'm saying, it's like you said, it's not made for us. It's made for the segment of America that is looking for this type of movie. There's a scene where he basically espouses their what they want to say to a terrorist.
I know, but I'm not sure how you argue that's as anything but a bad thing. I mean, maybe I should send you to go review God's Not Dead 2. You know, that's made for a very specific and kind of awful audience as well. That doesn't make it a better movie because you know it's for that niche group.
If that's what they're aiming for.
No.
You know, you're right.
Sorry, my opinion, I'm being fascist maybe.
No, you're not.
I'm going to say what I felt, which is that I thought this thing was offensive. I thought it was had really bad special effects. I thought the plot from the beginning was just so impossible that I couldn't believe any of it. And I didn't even think it was funny when it was trying to be. Maybe once or twice. Like, at best, there's a few violent scenes that are really cool. There is a scene that's perfectly executed that belonged in a better movie where he takes out a motorcycle dude and has a perfect one-liner for it. That's like, okay, that was funny and pretty cool. But that was really the only high point of this whole film that otherwise was just a mess and just made me want to not really watch Olympus Has Fallen again, but remember it that much fonder and go, yeah, that was a lot better than this was, because I could not stand London Has Fallen. I hope that this is the end of this. I hope this gets slaughtered in the theater by Deadpool as it deserves. You know, somebody was saying when we were talking outside the theater, it was like, you know, you can't put this up against movies like The Raid. I was like, you're right, but I can put it up against American action films that come out all the time and do get wide release that has shown you can make great action films. We don't have to lower our expectations anymore, Elliot. We don't have to. We can expect better things. Deadpool is the perfect example of that. We can expect more. Same way, like, it's hard to go back and rewatch, like, the original Tim Burton Batman films or even Raimi's Spider-Man films, because you notice all the things that were just because we hadn't really figured out how to do that perfectly yet. And now it's like we've got it so well down that anything less, we Green Lantern dogpile on it, where we're like, God, what a piece of shit! Green Lantern's not even that bad of a movie.
It's not bad if it came out in 2004.
If it had come out 10 years earlier, you would have gone, oh yeah, this is all right. But it came out in the midst of like, okay, now we expect more. Well, you know what? I expect more now from my action movies, not this lazy, half-written, offensive garbage. I'd give this 2 out of 10 times I wish Gerard Butler had died at the end of this film. really died.
I was like, you can just watch 300 if you want to see him die.
No, then I have to watch 300.
Yeah. One of the things one of my like repeat phrases as far as like when I concisively think, give my thoughts on movies, is there's something to be said for a movie that knows what it is and doesn't, go over its skis with what it thinks it is. And so I think this accomplishes everything it wants to. I think it knows it's kind of a silly movie. I think it knows it's not going to win any awards or anything like that. The first one is better, and because this is just kind of a retread of a lot of the same thing, there's no need to bring back a lot of the actors from the first one to this one. Like, that doesn't do anything to elevate your budget. Yeah. And the collecting the check thing, yeah, is interesting too, because it makes you maybe wonder if the people that weren't in the movie for very long is just like, nope, don't put me in the movie any longer, just give my check and I'll go home.
That makes more sense.
Melissa Leo looks at in the camera. Okay, you can go.
But, I mean, I had a lot of fun with this, and I'll probably revisit it. It's just one of those dumb action movies that I like. I don't... It's not even so much turning your brain off. It's just kind of the, you know, sometimes you want a dumb movie. And, you know, that's all I wanted out of this, and that's what I got. And, yeah, I mean, I don't expect anyone to, you know, debate me hardcore on it. I don't expect this to, I don't need to go to bat for it or anything like that. I think this is going to be, whatever your expectations are for this movie, I think it's going to hit. If you don't think it's going to be very good and you end up seeing it, it's probably not going to be very good. If you're looking forward to it because you just want to see a fun action movie and you like seeing violence on screen, like I do sometimes, this is going to hit those buttons too. I would give it 7 out of 10 presidential hard-ons.
I mean, for the record, I do like big, dumb action movies when they have enough things to, like I said earlier, to sell you on, like, oh, here's the stuff that makes you have a good time. I love, yeah. I mean, proof positive, I like Olympus Has Fallen, yeah, which is a big, dumb action movie, mm-hmm, you know? I just, for me, the dumb went too dumb.
And just to note, this is going to make Chris pull out his hair. The average...
So I don't have a lot left, so...
The average review across all three of us was a 5.
Yeah, that it averages out to a 5?
It averages out to a 5.
I'm going to edit this review.